good morning, Tampa Bay. Welcome to another edition of FYI with Big Ed. I am your host, Big Ed, in studio here. It is not only a great day in Tampa Bay outside, but it is a great day inside because for a few minutes here, I get to talk about one of my favorite passions, and that is aircraft, whether it be current day or some of your historic aircraft. And joining me in studio right now is Bruce Brock, and he is part of the Experimental Aircraft Association, the local chapter. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Ed.
It's good to have you in here today.
This is great.
And I saw you brought plenty of nice pictures of fine aircraft here for us to talk about today.
Yes, I did.
And one in particular, the B-17 bomber that is now here at in the Tampa Bay area at the St. Pete Clearwater Airport today. Is that correct?
The B-17 Flying Fortress flew in yesterday from Orlando and is on site and will be available this weekend for a great experience.
Seeing how this is radio and not everybody is so into aircraft as I am, we're trying to get them there slowly, but talk a little bit about the B-17 bomber. I know there's a lot of B bombers, but what exactly was the role in the war with the B-17?
The B-17 that was designed in the mid-30s, so this aircraft was designed about 1935 and developed in the early part of World War II, and they built 12,700 B-17s, primarily used in the European theater against Germany, flying out of both England and Italy as that became available, and carried the brunt along with the B-24 of the bombing missions over Germany against Nazi Germany.
Now there are some different versions of the B. This B-17 has four engines on it. There's some B bombers that only have two engines on there. We've seen a lot of movies about them. What are those?
That's right. Well, there were B-25s. That was the bomber that the Doolittle raid on Japan early in 1942, right after Pearl Harbor, off the carrier that most people are familiar with. The B-26 is another two-engine bomber that you see. There's still a few of those flying as well. The big four-engine bombers that had the heaviest loads, B-17 in Europe, the B-24 in Europe, mostly out of the Mediterranean, and then the big long-range one at the end of World War II, the B-29, that you've also heard of as well. Those were all large four-engine bombers with heavy bomb loads for their era. You know, the B-17 carried about, I think it was 4 tons or 4.5 tons of bombs, which is 8,000 or 9,000 pounds on your head. I don't think I'd want to have that happen to me.
To my understanding, the B-17 is a very powerful aircraft here.
Absolutely. It for its era, it was cutting edge. The big four radial engines that produce a lot of power to get that bomb load and the fuel required to get from England to Germany and back safely. It carried a crew of 10. And in fact, the last models carried 13 50 caliber machine guns as defense. And you've seen these pictures in they had a turret underneath the fuselage of the airplane that a gunner would crawl down into, and then he was kind of in there for the duration of the battle. They had a tail gunner, waist gunners, a chin gunner, so on and so forth. But there, you know, two pilots, and then everybody else was pretty much manning a gun, trying to defend themselves against Luftwaffe fighters is what they were trying to do. And they were sometimes successful, and so they took an awful lot of losses. And every time you lost one, you were losing 10 men shot down. So if you lose 4,000 B-17s in the course of the war, we're talking 40,000 men shot down. Now, yeah. Some of those survived. They weren't always into enemy territory, but frankly, the most probably made the ultimate sacrifice.
Once again, we're talking with Bruce Brock of the Experimental Aircraft Association local chapter. And Bruce, I wanted to ask you, during the war, World War II, how many of these were actually made? And how many of these are actually still in circulation? I know there's a difference between circulation and actually flying. If you can touch on that.
They built, you know, over 12,000 of them. I understand there's about 100 in existence, but airworthy, I think the number is at 11 or 12 that actually can still safely operate in the sky. And it takes a tremendous labor of love to keep these aircraft flying. They have to be wonderfully maintained. And a lot of maintenance that goes into these engines. Can you imagine getting parts for an engine that was designed in 1935? It's not easy. They obviously fabricate a lot, and they have a lot of highly experienced mechanics that do this as a labor of love. In fact, this particular aircraft was donated to Experimental Aircraft and took 10 years to be restored to an airworthy condition. And it is beautiful. It is just in wonderful shape. You should just see it, and I hope you do.
There are some great photos of it here, and everybody's going to get a chance to, we're going to give them information on how they get a chance to see these aircraft in person at the St. Pete Clearwater Airport. But, Bruce, you talked a little bit about the, it's amazing the gun turrets, both in the front, top, and bottom of these things.
That's correct. And the tail of the airplane as well. So they were trying to, they thought that by putting several airplanes in formation together, that the combination of all these guns would provide tremendous defense, and it did, but it was not foolproof. But you, if you were a single airplane that had an engine, lost an engine or something, you fell out of the formation, you were pretty easy target at that point. But if you were in group with your 30 other airplanes and multiply 30 airplanes by 13 machine guns, it gets to be a lot of firepower in the air trying to defend the formation.
Were these one of the better aircrafts made for the war?
Absolutely. The B-17 is an iconic aircraft, and it's one of deserving of historical preservation and the tradition to honor the service of all these ground crew and air crew and the manufacturers back. These aircraft were built, they're a Boeing airplane, but they're actually built by Boeing, by Douglas, by Lockheed, just to produce all the material that needed to be. And then the women's air service pilots that flew the airplanes over to England, because they'd go through so many airplanes, and they didn't want to use up their combat pilots to ferry the airplanes over. So they ferried literally thousands of these aircraft across the Atlantic to England and Italy.
And this great-looking poster that you have here, that and you talked a little bit about manufacturing, there's actually a woman superimposed in the back of this. Did women actually help put this thing together?
Absolutely. That's the famous Rosie the Riveter. Let's face it, the men were all in the armed forces, mm-hmm. and the big airplane factories, particularly out west in California and in the state of Washington, all the men were gone, and you're ramping up production of these huge numbers of airplanes, not just the B-17, but B-24s and B-51s and P-47s and P-38s and all that sort of stuff. It just needed tens of thousands of workers and riveters, and the women came in droves and did a wonderful, wonderful job. It's quite great story.
Once again, we're talking with Bruce Brock of the Experimental Aircraft Association, the local chapter here. Now that we've told everybody about this great-looking aircraft, and I tell you, it looks like it just rolled out of the shop yesterday, the next thing in line is to tell everybody how they can actually view, or where they can view it, and when they can view this aircraft. And the different, we'll get into first how they can take a look at it, maybe take a picture of it and whatnot.
Okay, yeah, there's going to be two great ways to experience this aircraft, and this will be this coming Friday, the 30th of January, Saturday, and Sunday, the 1st of February. And it's physically located at a airport operator called Sheltair on Fairchild Drive, officially 15875 Fairchild Drive, but it's on the north end of St. Pete Clearwater. If you know where it's just about the entrance to the Bayside Bridge, and right. If you know where the U.S. Coast Guard station is, you just proceed as though you're going to enter the Coast Guard station, and then just prior to that, there's a little left turn, and you just follow that around, and there'll be parking down there.
And there's a great landmark there. There's the Coast Guard amphibious unit is right there.
That's right. I think that's called an albatross. I
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's right there. That's where you want to be. And you turn in there, and prior to the Coast Guard gate, you turn left and go down about a half a mile, and then you'll see the sign for shelter. And you can take the airplane will be available for ground tours no later than 2 o'clock each afternoon. This is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And go till 5 o'clock. And for a nominal donation, it's $10 for an adult. I think it's $20 for a family. And military and active military and veterans are free for the ground tours. And you can take a wonderful tour of this airplane and see how it works inside, outside, take pictures, so on and so forth. That's a nice tour.
Yeah, and this is a great event for the entire family to come out. I already checked. The weather's going to be great. It's going to be in the low 70s this weekend. So they can come out. They can experience. They can take photos around the aircraft. You said inside the aircraft.
Absolutely.
They can take photos of that, too, which alone is just a phenomenal way to see this aircraft. But you tell me there's another way to see this aircraft, not only on the ground, in the air.
The absolute best way to experience it is in a flight, and there will be flights that you can purchase a ride in this aircraft. It's truly special. I personally did it at the last time a B-17 here, and I was just thrilled. It really supports the mission of maintaining this aircraft and seeing people see it. It is expensive to operate the airplane. It uses a lot of $5 a gallon gas.
Right.
And there's logistics that has to go with it. The crew of six came in with the plane yesterday, two pilot crew, two mechanics, and then two ground people that also bring the support trailers, so on and so forth. So it does cost about $450 to take about an hour experience, about 30 minutes in the air, and it is fantastic. I like I said, I did it a few years ago and sat in the bombardier seat and took pictures, and it's truly a thrilling part of history to do, and I highly recommend it. Those flights are available on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, mm-hmm. 10, 11, 12, and 1.
Okay.
And I've got a website.
Okay.
You can log on to, for more information, www.b17.org. So that would be like b17.org. Or you can call 800-359-6217. 800-359-6217, and they'll give you more information on this flight experience.
And about the flight experience, I want to just real quickly just touch on this. They're not going to just put you in the plane, put in a seat, you look out the window, and then you get out.
No.
Explain a little bit how you get in there, and then once you're up in the air.
There'll be a nice little briefing on the airplane before you ever go, in fact, including a little safety briefing, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be fastened in, seat belted in place, of course, for the takeoff and the landing. But once you're in the air, the seatbelts come off, and you can get up and move to the gun stations at the waist, move up to the bombardier seat, look around, and just move about the aircraft and see what all it was like to be a crew member in this aircraft 70 years ago.
You told me a great experience off air that you got to go in the front torrent there.
Yes,
the
I did. In fact, the ride I took went right by my house on the way out to Clearwater Beach, and I actually have a picture of my house as I flew by in the bombardier seat. I guess we were doing a bombing run on the house. Fortunately, my wife says the bombs missed. So, but it was truly a thrill, and I highly recommend it. It's kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity to experience it, and also help support the mission of maintaining this tradition, this great historical aircraft in the sky.
And like you said, it's got to be a heck of an experience when they strap you in there and then you get on the runway and you feel the thrust of those
and
four engines.
This is not an airplane that was designed for passenger comfort.
Right.
It's noisy, it shakes, but it's highly airworthy and very safe and truly remarkable experience to go through.
Once again, we're talking with Bruce Brock of the Experimental Aircraft Association local chapter. And we're talking about the B-17 bomber experience here in the Tampa Bay area at the St. Pete Clearwater International Airport. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which translates to January 30th through February 1st. And once again, let's give them the times of the tours themselves.
Right. The ground tours start at 2 in the afternoon after the termination of the last flight of the day. So ground tours no later than 2, and they'll run till 5. The flights themselves, call and book book on that 800-359-6217 or b17.org. And those flights are at 10, 11, 12, and 1 again on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And it's going to be a great great event for you to take your family out and just kind of experience the whole B-17 as a family. Take some great photos, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Ed.
Once again, Bruce Brock of the Experimental Aircraft Association, thanks so much for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you out on Saturday and experiencing a great B-17 bomber, right?
Absolutely. Saturday or Sunday, and wonderful weather, so we look to see you out there. Thanks so much.
One more time for the phone number for anybody to book or get tickets.
Right, so book a flight, 800-359-6217, or you can go online at B-17, the digits, 17.org.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks again for joining us in another edition of FYI with Big Ed on the Tantalk Radio Network.